This week, as we enter Easter week, the gospel reading written by Paul, probably within 20 years of Jesus's death, the bit that we've actually just read out is probably a hymn or a poem or a confessional that was well known at the time. And as he was writing it, he would have known that people knew what he was writing, because it was something that was probably in common parlance at the time. So that speaks to the fact that the content of it, and I think it makes three very clear points, that content would have been talked about a lot. Three points about Jesus: his divinity, his humanity, and his humility. So those are three things I just want us to focus on now, and maybe you can reflect on them during the Eucharist as we receive communion, and also just reflect on them during the week. And I think that the passage also asks us one question maybe around that, which is, whose mind do you have? Because this talks about us having the same mind or mindset as Christ. So whose mind do you have? So the first part of that is, you know, it talks about Jesus being divine, Jesus being God. And, you know, maybe for Christians, we think that is, you know, well understood or recognized. I think actually people lose sight of that, and certainly working in the prison, whether Jesus really was God is a constant source of debate, something that people regularly question, including the Christians who come to the services, but particularly people of other faith will say. And in fact, one person in the Bible study this week used our gospel passage and said, well, how could Jesus be God if he says on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? How can Jesus be God if he says, God, why have you forsaken me? Good question to ask. So, but in this passage, and I'll quote Tim Keller on this, he thinks this is the most powerful statement in the Bible of the fact that Jesus is God. Because that phrase it uses, and actually for once don't like the King James translation, verse 6, who being in the form of God makes it sound like in external appearance God. And the Greek word there is actually morphe, and morphe means being in very nature, being at essence, in the very essence. So the New International Version there is a much better translation, who being in very nature God. So it's saying Jesus was in his very nature God. So, yeah, he might say, God, how are you going? And then we get into a debate about the Trinity, which we'll have. But clearly this passage is saying, yes, Jesus was in his very nature God. So now, if Jesus was in his very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, he was equal to God, but chose not to hold on to it. He was as much God as God. And then it says we should have the same attitude, the same mindset as Jesus. So three things to, quickly just thinking about, if Jesus is God, how might that affect our mindset, him being God? Number one, maybe we should be more optimistic. Because if we're Christians and we've got the Holy Spirit in us, we know Jesus, we're being made into his image, maybe that should make us more optimistic about the future. Despite everything that is going on in the world at the moment, all the challenges we face. Secondly, we shouldn't be lukewarm. I mean, you either have got to say Jesus is mad, hate him, or you've got to worship him and love him. There isn't really a lot of room for being lukewarm. But finally, I think it does really give us this wonderful insight into the Trinity. So if Jesus is God, it speaks to that threefold nature of God, of how we know God, that he became flesh, that God did become flesh. And then when Jesus rose again and left, he left behind us the Holy Spirit that works in us. So I think quite often we can have a mindset that says that God created the world in order to have something to love. You know, God created us in order to be able to love us. And sometimes that can affect art, that maybe love didn't exist until the creation existed. But yet we have, you know, it says in the word that God is love. Well, how can God be love if he was only had something to love once he'd created the world? The Trinity says God loves within himself, always has, it is his very nature. God loves the Son. He didn't need to create the world to have something to love. He invites us into the Trinity in order that we might experience his love. So love has always been, it's part of his nature. He loves the Son. So sometimes I think Christians have an attitude that in order to love, we take on a project. We want to love people who maybe are different from us, as though we need to go and manifest that love to them. And there's some good in that. But we experience love by simply being with Jesus. And that love overflows from us through the Holy Spirit to others. It's not a project. It's not something we have to do to create love. We're in love through the Trinity. So firstly, Jesus is God, Jesus is divine, and it should affect our mindset. Secondly, Jesus was human. The same morphe statement is then used in verse 7. But made of himself of no... verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man. So being in very nature also human. So Jesus was also a person. A human just like us. He was tired. He felt things. We know he cried at the death of his friends. He had strong emotions. But he got tired through working hard. So he was human just as he was God. And, you know, one thing for reflection on this is quite often religious people can take a view of earthly physical things. Religious people can kind of dismiss them as, well, they're not spiritual things. So that they're not so important. Our bodies are going to decay and pass away. So therefore, physical things don't matter so much. And also, they're sinful and wrong. So we're above. If you're a Christian, you should be above physical things. Well, Jesus took on physical form, so matter matters. You know, physical things really matter because Jesus inhabited the physical. Now, of course, the flip side of that is sometimes irreligious people, because they don't recognize spiritual things at all, recognize spiritual things at all, worship the physical. So we don't do that either, but we should realize and live out. And that's why we take care of our stuff, take care of this world, you know, manage the things we're given well, why, you know, looking after creation is important, because matter matters, because Jesus inhabited the physical, God became the physical. So we neither worship it as all we've got, nor do we diminish it and say it's just not that important. The physical matters because Jesus was human. And then the third thing, that I think is a challenge to the world we live in now, is his humility, that Jesus became humble. You know, even though he was God and became a man, which was already humbling himself, he became a servant. And, you know, I've read some stuff, you know, which does suggest that really Jesus' life created humility as a virtue. That before Jesus walked this earth, humility was not admired. If you were powerful and strong and successful, you declared it, you let it be known. But because of Jesus' example, actually now people do look up to and see it as a leadership trait for somebody to be humble. So, but we live in a world now where I think actually the self is... of utmost importance. You know, we use cameras to take pictures of ourselves as opposed to pictures of the things around us or the places we may see or of other people. And I'm not saying looking after yourself or understanding yourself is not important, but I do think we live in a world where, I mean, a recent article in Psychology Today said that narcissism is on the rise, or the traits of narcissism are on the rise. There's a theologian called Walter Brueggemann who talked about there is a strand, and we may drift into it ourselves, of Christianity that can become very narcissistic, where we sing, God loves me, God's got a plan for me, God wants to prosper me. So those are ungodly traits, I think, for Christians. Jesus humbled himself, and as he humbled himself, he was revealed. Who he is revealed, and gives us the same challenge that as we die to ourselves, we find our own identity. As we, you know, as we give up ourselves, his power is made known for us. So let me read you a passage from Matthew 10:39. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Jesus was God, but did not use that for his advantage. Jesus never did a miracle for his own benefit. He could have done. All the miracles he performed were for the benefits of others. So as we receive the offering now, and as we receive communion, reflect on his divinity, his humanity, and his humility, and be drawn into the Trinity, that God is love, that he invites you to be part of that loving relationship, that loving community, and to share it with those around you, that your attitude may be the same as that of Christ.